This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto underlines military's role as guardian of national sovereignty. Foreign Minister asserts diplomacy and armed forces as an inseparable unity. I'm Rahma. This is the news in detail. President Prabowo Subianto has reaffirmed that the Indonesian National Armed Forces serves as the bedrock of national defense, with a duty to protect the entire nation and readiness to make the ultimate sacrifice. He delivered these remarks during his address at the institution's 80th anniversary celebration. Kiki Novitasari has the detail.
In a speech commemorating the 80th anniversary of Indonesian National Armed Forces, or TNI, on Sunday, President Prabowo Subianto emphasized the institution's critical function as the primary pillar safeguarding national sovereignty. Prabowo stated that as the backbone of the nation's defense, the Indonesian National Armed Forces bears the responsibility of protecting all Indonesian citizens, asserting that its members must be prepared to sacrifice their lives for safety and security of the people and state.
TNI adalah tulang punggung pertahanan Indonesia.
The Indonesian National Armed Forces is the backbone of our defense that guarantees our sovereignty. The armed forces must be ready to protect the entire Indonesian nation and its homeland. It must be ready to sacrifice all of its life and body for the safety of the Indonesian nation and its people.
The president further urged the TNI to continuously modernize and adapt to the challenges of a rapidly evolving global landscape, which includes keeping pace with advancement in defense technology and navigating complex geopolitical shifts.
The armed forces must prepare itself, continuously build itself, train itself, harden itself, master all necessary knowledge, keep up with the times, keep up with technological developments. The armed forces must not fall behind. It must not be negligent.
This year's 80th anniversary celebration, held under the theme TNI Patriots of the Unitary State of Indonesia, Guardians of Democracy for an Advanced Indonesia, was a display of military capability. The event featured an exhibition of advanced weapon systems, dynamic tactical demonstrations, including a hostage rescue drill and an aerial show by fighter jets. A parade of combat vehicles involving approximately 133,000 personnel further highlighted the ceremony's scale. Kiki Novitasari, Voice of Indonesia.
In a tribute marking 80 years of the Indonesian National Armed Forces, Foreign Minister Sugiono, a former soldier himself, underscored the critical partnership between diplomacy and military strength. He stated that a strong and professional soldier is fundamental to protecting national interests and enhancing Indonesia's positive reputation worldwide. Anissa Audrita has the detail.
8 decades after the proclamation of Indonesian independence, the role of the Indonesian National Armed Forces, or TNI, is not only written in physical battles, but also in global diplomacy. In commemoration of its 80 years of service, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Sugiono, highlighted the inseparable synergy between professional military strength and the effectiveness of the nation's diplomacy on the international stage. Through a social media post on Sunday, 5 October 2025, Sugiono affirmed that Indonesian diplomacy has worked hand in hand with the armed force to ensure national interests remain protected on the global stage. This statement positions the Indonesian National Armed Force not only as a defense tool, but also a strategic asset in the Indonesian foreign policy.
Diplomasi dan TNI.
Diplomacy and the Indonesian National Armed Forces are a unity that cannot be separated. A strong, professional, clean, and authoritative soldier is a supporter of this nation's diplomacy.
Indonesia is one of the UN member countries that contributes significantly to UN peacekeeping force through the Garuda contingent. This effort demonstrated the synergy between defense strength and building a positive image of Indonesia abroad, which according to Sugiono is an important factor in global diplomacy.
Synergy is a key word for the nation's esteemed name in the international world. A strong TNI is a pride for us.
On the occasion, Sugiono, who once had a career as an army soldier, also paid tribute to all soldiers who died in the line of duty. According to him, the sacrifice of all soldiers is a cornerstone that strengthens the institution's commitment to continue serving. Anissa Audrita, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government is boosting the utilization of life tables as a foundation for data-based policy to realize the vision of Golden Indonesia 2045. This statistical instrument is deemed crucial for accurately capturing the health conditions and life expectancy of the population. Nur Kamila has the detail.
The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of National Development Planning, the Central Statistics Agency, or BPS, and several related parties continues to strengthen data-driven development policies towards Golden Indonesia 2045. One of these efforts involves utilizing the Indonesian life tables. At a dissemination event on Monday, the Deputy for Social Statistics at the agency, represented by the Director of Population and Manpower Statistics, Ali Said, explained the basic concepts and uses of the life table.
It can be utilized or used to capture and calculate various aspects related to life extension and other closures that represent the highly diverse groups within society.
Meanwhile, the Deputy for Community Empowerment, Population and Manpower at the Ministry, represented by the Director of Population and Social Security, Muhammad Holly Fihani, emphasized the importance of the life table as a basis for formulating evidence-based policies.
This life table can provide data that helps us. When we formulate policies, we certainly strive for them to be evidence-based, effective, and efficient.
The life table serves as a means to understand mortality patterns, life expectancy figures, and the health conditions of the population. This data acts as a compass for formulating inclusive, efficient, and sustainable human development policies in Indonesia in realizing the vision of Golden Indonesia 2045. Nur Kamila, Voice of Indonesia.
The MotoGP motorcycle racing competition at the Mandalika International Circuit West Nusa Tenggara was watched by more than 140,000 people. Indonesian Minister of Youth and Sports Erick Thohir welcomed this achievement and called it an important result of collaboration from all parties. More details from Rama Shidki Pratama.
Place. He's already won here by a mile in Moto 2, but this is extra special. The second youngest MotoGP winner in history, Fermin Aldeger.
The MotoGP motorcycle racing competition in Indonesia, the Pertamina Grand Prix of Indonesia, for this year's edition was held at the Mandalika International Circuit, West Nusa Tenggara, on Sunday, October 5th. The Mandalika Grand Prix Association, as the organizer of the Pertamina Grand Prix of Indonesia 2025, recorded more than 140,000 people came to watch the action of the international racers, an increase for the previous year, which was only 121,000 people. Indonesia's Minister of Youth and Sports, Erick Thohir, appreciated this achievement and also called the success an important step in promoting Indonesia. Amazing, a breakthrough, 140,000 spectators. This is an achievement. We can see that the government from all industries, from the Minister of Tourism, the local government, we are solidly working together to ensure this MotoGP event is an important part of promoting Indonesia. Meanwhile, the governor of West Nusa Tenggara, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, highlighted the increase in hotel occupancy on Lombok Island due to the MotoGP event. According to him, besides accommodations, The micro, small, and medium enterprises, or MSME sector, also enjoyed this increase. What is more visible is the impact on the local economy is very real, and the extended four rooms used are not only in Mandalika, but at Antil Mataram and Senggigi, they are also affected by the very high occupancy during these periods. Previously, we could only accommodate 60 MSMEs. Now we accommodate more than 120. So from the top economy to the very bottom, all are affected by this. So this is a good momentum. In the 27-lap race, Gresini Racing team rider Fermin Aldequer from Spain managed to become the winner with a time of 41 minutes and 7 seconds. He defeated a number of MotoGP mainstay riders, including another Spanish rider, Marc Marquez from Ducati Corse, who instead had an accident and had to undergo treatment. Rama Sidki Pratama, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia continues to push for self-sufficiency in its national defense industry through joint production cooperation with various countries. This was emphasized by the head of the Defense Information Bureau of the Secretariat General of the Ministry of Defense, Brigadier General Frega Wenas Inkiriwang, in an interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Monday. Frega explained collaboration with countries such as Turkey, South Korea, and France aims not only to strengthen domestic capabilities, but also to open up export opportunities at a regional and global levels. Meanwhile, the modernization of main defense system equipment also continues. The procurement of a number of high-tech equipment such as Rafale fighter jets, frigates, submarines, and transport aircraft is part of this effort. He added, all these steps are in line with the Golden Indonesia 2045 vision, where self-reliance in the defense sector is considered a fundamental foundation for national stability and prosperity. Well, listener, let's listen to the interview for further details. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners, Indonesian military, or here we call it as TNI, has just commemorated its 80th anniversary on October 5th. There are lots of achievements that the Indonesian military has gained. Even until now, TNI keeps on modernizing its main weaponry system and many more. To know about the achievements and how does the Indonesian military keeps on continuing its performance and modernizing its weaponry system, joining us on today's special interview, Head of Defense Information Bureau of Secretariat General of the Indonesian Defense Ministry, Brigadier General Bapak Frega Wenas Inkiriwang. Thank you so much for joining us on today's special interview, Pak Frega.
Oh, you're welcome, Barama. It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much. First of all, of course, we would like to say happy 80th anniversary for the Indonesian military.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Pleasure is ours, Pak Frega. And as I've mentioned earlier, that Indonesia is currently and keeps on continuing the modernization of the Indonesian military defense equipment. So could you explain the latest progress of Indonesia's defense modernization program, Pak Frega?
Regarding the modernization of our national defense forces, is one of the vision and commitment of our President Prabowo Subianto, and also is being implemented by our Mr. Syafri Samsudin. So when we talk about modernizing our defense sector, it's totally different from other sectors, because when we try to procure defense equipment, weaponry, jet fighters, and many other platforms, we may need longer time to procure. And therefore, what we are currently doing is the implementation on what has been started started previously when President Prabowo, when he was still serving as the Minister of Defense. And at the moment, we try to focus in elevating the capacity and capability of our National Defense Forces, comprising from the Army, Navy, and Air Force. So we try to procure the cutting-edge technology, for example, like the fighter jets, also the frigate or the combat ships, also the patrol ships, and a number of transport aircraft. And we are about to also procure our submarines and a number of international strategic partners, which has been established in the past years. At the moment, we are trying to implement. And recently, we have witnessed the arrival of our two new frigates. And perhaps next month, we also welcome the arrival of our air platform, which is the Transport aircraft. And by early 2026, we are also about to receive the new fighter jets that we procure from France, the Rafale. So we have a number of other platforms that we have procured, and we believe that to uphold our sovereignty, territorial integrity, and the safety of our nation, we need to have a strong and a solid national defense forces, because this is very fundamental for our country and nations. But we don't have any intention to be aggressive, because based on our foreign policy, active and free foreign policy, it means that we try to contribute to stability and peace of the world.
What about the self-reliance in the domestic defense industry? How's the Indonesian Ministry of Defense promoting it, and what concrete steps that have been taken?
Well, when we talk about self-reliance, I think this is observing the recent geopolitical tension, the dynamics in many parts of the world. There's been state-based armed conflict, which to some extent also disrupt the supply chains. So at the same time, we try to modernize by procuring the cutting-edge technology from various international strategic partners. But at the same time, we also try to nurture enhancing our national defense industry, because if there's a difficult time where countries are hesitate to sell their products, we can start to utilize our own resources. But of course, we can't work by our own. We still need partnership with our international friends. And at the moment, a number of international corporations has been also established, where we try to produce together under joint production. And by having this initiative, we also try to fulfill the demand of our national defense forces. And at the same time, we also aim to produce something that we can sell at the regional level, and perhaps in the forthcoming years at the global level, because once we have a similar capacity with other nations and other countries, especially in producing our defense armament, weaponries, be it fighters, you know, ships, aircraft, tanks, we have done this partnership, and we have also produced our own medium tank. For example, with the cooperation that we set with Turkey, also the submarines with South Korea, and we are about to start our also cooperation for the submarines with the France, and many other things that we envision. But this is very important, because when there's something, you know, the dynamic that we can't predict, well, we don't want to experience the same journey that we suffered during the embargo, where we have the funding, but we can't procure, we can't actually do the proper maintenance for our weaponries and armaments. So this is one of the steps that we require in order to ensure that our fighting force, our national defense forces, has the proper capacity and capability. And maybe if you compare with the prior years, this year we can see, and even during the 80th anniversary yesterday on 5th October, the greater number of aircraft and also ships that were involved in, you know, the sail passing and also during the fly parade yesterday. So it shows that we try to maintain our capacity and capability. And to this context, our local industry, our national defense industry, has also contributed and play their parts. Petepal for the ships, Petepindad for the army armament weaponries like the tank, and also Petedei to some extent for the aircraft and the drone. So it is essential to also build our self-reliant, and not only for our you know, identity and fulfilling the demand, but also to promote ourselves, because by having our product recognized regionally, globally, it means that we can also promote Indonesia as a whole country and nation.
And how can this modern defense system also contribute to stability and peace in the Asia-Pacific region as part of ASEAN member country?
Oh, okay. In answering this question, let me clarify that we have to bear in mind that based on our constitution, that Indonesia is committed to contribute in preserving and maintaining global peace and stability. So we try our best to always contribute, especially under the United Nations. We have sent a number of peacekeeping missions in order to help preserve peace worldwide. And by having this modernization, it actually help us to also work together with other nations, because at the same time, not only building our own force with our own strength, with those weaponries, platforms and equipment, but at the same time, we also try to you know, enhance our interoperability with you know, other military from different nations. And that's why with this modern armaments platform that we have, we regularly organize exercises where we can operate together in order to contribute to the establishment and preservation of international peace and stability. So this has been our commitment, and with this modernization is actually help facilitate the process in optimizing the effort to enhancing international peace and stability.
Okay, stability and peace worldwide, that's what should be highlighted and bold. Okay.
Yes.
Sure. Now let's align the defense modernization effort with the government's long-term vision of Golden Indonesia 2045. How do you align it?
I think this is very fundamental. It's really closely related with the attainment of the vision itself, Indonesia 2045, because without sovereignty, without territorial integrity, and also the safety of the nation, it will be difficult and even impossible to achieve the vision. And that's why we need to modernize our defense, be it, you know, from the army perspective, from the navy perspective, and even air force. So by ensuring that we have the proper and right capacity and capability that we require, we can uphold our sovereignty, territorial integrity, and ensure that our safety of the nation are guarded. Otherwise, we won't achieve the national stability. And that's why Minister Shafri Samsudin, our defense minister, for many times, he reiterated the point of defense supporting economy, because by having a proper national defense forces, which is capable of doing the primary task in relations with the three roles that I explained earlier, it also contribute in supporting national stability, which is required to also foster development and also achieve you know, prosperity. And of course, if this thing cannot be achieve or can it be attained, it will be difficult to you know, achieve and implement the vision of Indonesia 2045, where we will commemorate our 100 years of our independence as the golden years of Indonesia. And I think this needs a commitment from everyone, not only from the Ministry of Defense, from also the civil society and other stakeholders, because when we are talking about defense, defense is actually a part of everyone. Based on the Constitution, it is the right and at the same time responsibility of every citizen of Indonesia.
And lastly, what message would you like to convey to the international audience about Indonesia's commitment to building a modern defense force that remains focused on peace?
I think the message that I would like to convey to international audience, you don't need to worry about what we are currently doing. What we try to modernize is part of the process, because maybe international audience also remember from 1991 to 2005, we suffered from embargo a very long time, over a decade, where we could not procure, we cannot purchase, things, even for the spare parts that we need for maintenance and reparations. So what we are doing is actually the continuation of the previous program where we refer as minimum essential forces. At the moment, we are trying to integrate, and this is part of the process in helping our military, the National Defense Forces, modernize and also be able to conduct its tasks based on the Constitution. And I think it's normal if you want to, you know, uphold your sovereignty and secure territorial integrity at the same time, safety of the nation, you need the proper military or national defense forces. But as I mentioned earlier in my answer to the previous questions, that Indonesia is committed to contributing to establish and preserve international stability and peace based on our constitution and also our foreign policy, free and active foreign policy. 1,000 friends are too few, while one enemy is too many. And that has been the vision of President Prabowo Subianto and has been translated by Minister of Defense Syafri Samsudin. So we're trying to commit to replicate many, many more international cooperations with partner nations. And of course, if we will conduct this partnership and cooperation, we also need to be able to foster interoperability. And by having a modern fighting forces, modern platform, it will ensure that we can operate together for the greater sake of international peace and stability. So you don't have to worry, you don't have to be afraid with what we are currently doing. This is part only of the mandate of our constitution, where we have to ensure that we can uphold our sovereignty, secure our territorial integrity, and also safety of the nation, at the same time contributing to international peace and stability. All I want to say to our international audience, our international partners and friends.
All right, Brigadier General Frega Wenas Inkiriwang, thank you so much for your insight about the modernization of Indonesia's military main weaponry system, keep guarding the nation and contributing to international stability and peace. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Well, listeners, that's today's special interview on the modernization of Indonesia's military main weaponry system with Head of Defense Information Bureau of Secretariat General of the Indonesian Defense Ministry, Brigadier General Frega Wenas Inkiriwang. Stay tuned for more insightful talks on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, it concludes today's news bulletin from the Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, as Gempol Pleret is one of the legendary Solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as Gempol Pleret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Some call as Gempol Pleret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation. But there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make as Gempol Pleret, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball because it is round, made of rice, and its white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. Pleret is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol pleret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or green sticky rice tape. For one bowl of es gempol pleret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiah. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Wonder today is featuring lawar, traditional food of Bali. Bali in Indonesia is not only known as a center of tourism, which offers fascinating nature, it also offers many things that can be enjoyed by everyone who vacations on the island, such as Balinese culture. Despite outside and modern influences, it remains thick in tradition, including the cuisine that tempts the appetite of tourists. One of which is lawar, which is a traditional Balinese culinary delight. Lawar is a typical Balinese dish, which is a mixture of vegetables and minced meat that is seasoned. Lawar was originally used for serving at ceremonies, both traditional ceremonies and religious ceremonies. But in the end, this food is usually served in Balinese households or sold widely in restaurants under the name Balinese lawar. The naming of this lawar varies, usually based on the type of meat or vegetable used. If chicken is used, the lawar will be called chicken lawar. If jackfruit is used, the lawar is named jackfruit lawar. Naming can also be based on the color of the lawar. For example, a red lawar if the color of the lawar is red, white lawar if the color is white, and there is a lawar called padamare lawar, which is a mixture of several types of lawar. Making this Balinese lawar is not too difficult. First, slice some long beans into approximately 1 cm pieces, then set aside. After that, add bean sprouts and remove the roots. Grind or pound some shallots, garlic, large red chilies, ginger, galangal, kencur, roasted candlenuts, pepper, coriander, roasted shrimp paste, and salt. Next, you can continue by heating some oil. Then saute the ground spices until fragrant and cooked. Next, add the minced meat, stir until slightly dry. After that, add some grated coconut, still over low heat until the coconut becomes dry and brownish. Then remove to cool. The next step is to mix the long beans, bean sprouts, other vegetables, and chicken coconut stir fry. Add lime juice, stir until evenly mixed and serve. Because most of the ingredients are vegetables such as star fruit, jackfruit, young coconut, young papaya with Balinese spices, lawar cannot last long. That was Indonesian Wonder today. We'll meet again with another interesting topic.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between the Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesia Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is di Nusa Tenggara Barat. Di Nusa Tenggara Barat, which means in Nusa Tenggara Barat. you will listen to a conversation about siapapun. Siapapun, which means everyone. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and Datiel, a local at Pantai Seger or Seger Beach, Lombok Island, about people joining the Bau Nyale Festival. Let's listen to the conversation.
Saya lihat ada anak-anak, remaja, dan orang tua ikut festival Bau Nyale ini. Apakah acara ini juga boleh diikuti oleh orang asing seperti saya?
Oh, tentu boleh. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, siapapun. Siapapun, which means everyone. I will say it two times slowly and please repeat after me. Siapapun. Siapapun, which means everyone. Boleh. Boleh, which means allowed. Ikut. Ikut, which means join. Pakaian adat. Pakaian adat, which means traditional clothing. Menangkap. Menangkap. Catch. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale, which means everyone is allowed to join in catching nyale. Anak-anak. Anak-anak, which means children. Remaja. Remaja, which means teenager. Orang tua. Orang tua, which means elderly. Orang asing. Orang asing, which means foreigner. Festival Bau Nyale. Festival Bau Nyale, which means Bau Nyale Festival. In this conversation, you hear the expression siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale, which means everyone is allowed to join in catching nyale. In the expression, there is the word siapapun. Siapapun, which means everyone. Another example. Let's listen to another use of the word siapapun. Siapapun, which means everyone, in other sentences. Siapapun dilarang membuang sampah di area Pantai Seger. Siapapun dilarang membuang sampah di area Pantai Seger, which means everyone must not litter at Seger Beach. Sirkuit Mandalika pada hari tertentu boleh dikunjungi oleh siapapun. Sirkuit Mandalika pada hari tertentu boleh dikunjungi oleh siapapun. Which means, at certain days, Mandalika Circuit can be visited by everyone. Bau Nyale tradition is a seaworm catching tradition in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Bau Nyale is believed to be related to the legend of Princess Mandalika. In the legend, every prince in the region loved Princess Mandalika. But the princess turned into Nyale, or sea worm, to avoid conflict among the nations. The name Princess Mandalika later became the name of the Mandalika Tourism Zone and Pertamina Mandalika International Circuit. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Saya lihat ada anak-anak, remaja, dan orang tua ikut festival Bau Nyale ini. Apakah acara ini juga boleh diikuti oleh orang asing seperti saya?
Oh, tentu boleh. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale.
Listener, that's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about siapapun. Siapapun, which means everyone. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a song by Liodra. Liodra Margareta Ginting, better known as Liodra, is an Indonesian singer and actress from Medan, North Sumatra, who was born on June 21, 2030. Liodra began her career as a professional singer after winning a talent search event on a national private television station in 2020. In 2024, the Indonesian maestro of romantic songs, Yofi Widianto, invites Liodra to collaborate in covering the song Terlalu Cinta, or So In Love. The song composed by Yofi Widianto was first released in 2006 and became a hit by Rosa. Now Yofi chooses Liodra to cover it because Liodra's voice character fits the song. This love-themed song with a pop ballad feel tells the story of feelings of sadness because of unrequited love. The lyrics convey a sense of despair and sadness because she cannot have the person she loves. Well, listener, here is the version of Terlalu Cinta by Liodra and Yofi Widianto.
Jangan dekat atau jangan datang kepadaku lagi. Aku semakin tersiksa karena tak memilikimu. Ku coba jalani hari dengan pengganti dirimu, tapi hatiku selalu berpihak lagi padamu. Mengapa semua ini terjadi kepadaku? Tuhan, maafkan diri ini yang tak pernah bisa menjauh dari kepadaku.